Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
And I'm not with your blood, you bought my freedom. Oh, hallelujah. For the cross.
Thank you, Lord. You rescued me and you set my feet on a firm foundation. Things were shaky, but you, Lord, set my feet. Amen. Can anyone relate? Is anybody in the process of relating? Getting their feet back on a firm foundation? Woo. Christ is my firm foundation. He's the rock on which I stand when everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad than I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful to generations. Yes, he is. So why would he fail now? He won't. The rain came when blue, my house was built on you, and I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it. That's a statement of faith this morning. The rains came, winds blew, my house was built on you.
Yeah.
sink in. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail.
You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You won't. You won't. It's just not in you, God. It's just not in you. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You'll never fail us. You'll always love us. You'll always be there. We love you, Lord God. We're going to move into a time of thankfulness and gratitude as we prepare our hearts for giving as well as part of worship, our tithes and offerings, whatever the Lord leads you or puts on your heart. If you're a guest with us, please don't feel obligation to this. This is something we do as a church family to honor God with our time, our energy, our money, reflecting on the gratitude in our hearts for all that he has done for us. Let's just take a moment and pray and think of a couple of things that you're thankful for in this moment. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for the beautiful weather. Thank you for a fresh new season of life. Thank you that your promises, all of the promises of God are yes and amen for those who keep the demands of your covenant. God, we love you and we thank you. We thank you because we see change in our lives. We see growth in our hearts. We see excitement and hope and peace. Yeah, sure, there are things that we're all still dealing with, but God, you're there and you're helping us. And we know that we can trust you. And we're thankful and we're grateful. Let's continue to worship in gratitude and thanks this morning.
'Cause all that I have is hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing
church.
Oh,
give him your hallelujah.
Father, we praise you today. God, may we remember, Lord, that as so many things that you created as both a gift to us and a glory to you, God. This morning, I know some of us talked about the gift of Sabbath and the gift of rest, Lord, and how you said in your word that the Sabbath was made for man. Lord, we can get caught up in so many obligations and the world moves so fast, it feels like an obligation for us to take time for you, when in fact it's a gift. It's a gift that you gave to us for our souls, Lord. It is good for us and it is glory to you. And God, this morning I think about the gift of worship in the same way, Lord. It is a gift that you have given to us, Lord, to lift us above the speed and the chaos and the hurt and the trouble of the world, and help us to more clearly see you, the one who gives us hope, the one who gives us joy, the one who gives us peace,
And God, it is a glory to you and it is a gift to us. And God, these are gifts that you have given to us. May we remember that we have them all the time. It's easy to worship when we're all together, God. It can be harder when we're feeling alone, Lord. But God, by your Spirit, help us to remember that this is a gift that you have given us to use at any moment, in any situation, to lift our eyes and our hearts to you, God, in a hallelujah. And that is all we need. That is all we need, God. We thank you for that gift. We thank you for the gift of your Son and your Spirit today. And in his name we pray and we glorify you, God. Amen. 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 Woo, you may be seated. Today I learned that when you come up early, when they're still singing and they're going, it's like 50 degrees hotter up here. And I think, like, I'm sure it's like a little bit light and mostly Holy Spirit, but whew, it's good. It's good. It's good to see you all this morning. Welcome. How you doing, Jimbo? All right, that's good. That's good. The rest of you need to catch up. All right, catch up. If you need some praise help, talk to Jimbo. Welcome. It is good to see you today. If you are a guest here today, thank you for joining us. Especially thank all of you for joining us on this beautiful early spring moment. Pakistani Phil did us right this year. Amen. Glad to see the sun coming. I was talking about that today. I was talking with Albert. I was like, I am so thankful to see this early spring weather. And I'm like, yay, 70, but not too fast, God, not too fast. Not too fast, you know. I love the, you know, if you could just put it exactly where I want it to be and keep it there, God. So always, how fast will we get complaining about the heat? Ah, it is a beautiful morning. It's a beautiful day to praise the Lord. It's a beautiful day to be with all of you. Thank you for being here this morning. If you are a guest, we would love to have the privilege of being able to connect with you. And we can do that in a few ways, but the very best way is if you would just do us a favor and stop at our new here table out just before you exit the lobby. We have some people there after the service that would just love to connect with you, know you were here, know your name, give you a gift, and tell you thanks for being here. We promise not to bother you. We're just glad that you're here today. We love you guys. We have some announcements coming up, so enjoy that, and we'll spend some time in the Word together. God bless you guys.
Hey guys, Brandon here. I'm one of the pastors, work with Next Gen Ministry. This is Kimmy Broadway, and we're here to give you your announcements. So first up is that we have a church-wide garage sale on Saturday, March the 9th. And so there's a couple things you can do to be involved in that. One, you can donate things. If you want to kind of help students go to camp, the students will help run the garage sale and things. And so you can donate items if you're doing some spring cleaning, you want to get that closet cleaned out. We are receiving those items the Friday before because we have literally nowhere to store them. And so, but if you'll use the app, the CF Paris app, go in there, there's a form. you can fill out kind of like if you just want to donate stuff, if you need some help getting those items to church, that sort of thing. The other option that you have is you can just come and sell stuff. We can like give you a spot in the gym for this church-wide garage sale and just come sell your own stuff as well. So we just want to make it a church-wide kind of community garage sale, spring cleaning, get rid of your stuff time. So.
Perfect. All right, guys. And also, a reminder that after church today, we are having the VBX decorating meeting. So if you're at all interested in that, go check it out in the reception immediately after church.
Yes.
I think that's all of our announcements.
Yeah, I think that is. And you don't have to be good at decorating to show up for that.
No.
Builder, driving a lift, going up and down.
All the things. All we the need things. Lots of help. So come check
true,
it out.
True story. Pastor Corey's coming up.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
It is really good to be here. We're in a series that we've entitled Determine. And I want to throw that definition back up here. Determine, very literally, is an action defined as to cause something to occur in a particular way. To cause something to occur in a particular way. It goes on, the dictionary says, to ascertain or establish exactly how something will occur, typically as a result of research or calculation. When you've seen God move, when you've seen his faithfulness over and over again, when you've continued to show him mistrust and yet he still continues to reach out a hand, it can change your life. It can change your circumstances. It can change your world. It can change everything. It's salvation. It's this moment of recognizing who he is, and that revelation only comes from him. There's no magic pill I can give you. There's no seance you can say or do. What it is an understanding of a relationship with God. A relationship. Part of our values is the idea of becoming like Christ. Becoming like Christ is a process. It's a process that isn't accidental. It's a process that is not accidental. So what we've been doing is we've been talking about intentionality. We've been talking about practices that all believers should be developing daily. Practices that you and I, if we are becoming like Christ, if our life is different tomorrow because of the choices we make today, then we have to recognize what choices it is that we're making. And are those choices lining up with the Word of God? So, intentionality and practices. I want to show you guys these pictures are from quite a while back. Let me go ahead and throw that first one up there. And I did not get permission from my children to show this, but I did anyway. This is an orphanage down in Guatemala that I had the privilege of taking our family down to. It's an orphanage that we support here through the church. And go ahead and go to that next slide for me. This particular family, that's a mother and father in the center, and that's their handicapped son there on the left-hand side. She lived in a particular village outside, away from the orphanage down in Guatemala. It's in Zaragoza, and so we went to this little area, and everything's dirt. I mean, you're walking, it's nothing but dirt, and we come over this little area, and this family, go ahead and jump to the next slide for me, if you will, please. This is their home. We came up down this little section over here. I don't know how well you can see it from out there, but we came in through this little area over here. This is their home on the left-hand side here, and you can see it. That's the whole building. On the one thing to particularly note on this picture here is on the right-hand side. I don't know how well you can see it, but there's like an orange tree. There's no oranges on it. There's just an orange tree. But that was their home. Do I have one more picture? Can I see it? I don't know where I'm going on this. Oh, yeah, there. That's where I'm going. I forgot the order. We walked in, and they had heard that we were coming. And she brings me this bowl with two oranges. Oh, man. She'd saved them. They were ripe. But wow. If you can jump back to the family for me. I think, yeah, that one there. This is the inside of their home. That's almost the width of it. Right over here, kind of behind us, was a small little stove in the corner for warmth for cooking. They didn't have anything at all. And when she heard I was coming, she wanted to make sure she gave me her best. That one picture shows me praying over them because they asked, would I mind praying for them before I left? What do you say? What do you say? Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, I pray today that by the power of your word, Lord God, that we would be encouraged to a happier, more joyful life. Father, that we would learn daily to be generous, to not hold back. Father, that we would honor you, that we would make your name known in this world. It's in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. All right, as you're getting relaxed, getting ready for today, go ahead and real quickly just do me a favor. Let's break the ice. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm so glad I'm here today. Because it sounds like he's going to talk about giving, and that excites me. Oh, my gosh, you guys, your heart, it makes me so warm. Warm and fuzzy. All right. Yes, today I'm talking very specifically about being generous. If you're here for the first time and you think you walked into a giving message, I'm talking about giving too. Yes. Yes, because it's all the same. And I'm not going to make apologies for it this morning because, look, this is something we need to hear. I pray you hear me. I'm not saying it because we need it like I need your money. I'm saying we need it. You're going to hear some principles today that are very much practical, intentional for your everyday if you want to become like Christ. Becoming like Christ is a process. And again, that process is not accidental. So we're talking about intentionality. There was a study done back in 2007, and in this study, these researchers figured out that we basically, you and I, those who were alive, we saw about 5,000 advertisements a day. Back in 2007, it was said that daily, you and I saw 5,000 advertisements a day. Today, it's now estimated that we view with the advent of social media, with social influencers, with different things like that, they now say that they estimate we see somewhere around 10,000 advertisements a day. You and I see 10,000 advertisements a day, which is terrible news. It's terrible. And let me tell you why. Because research also shows the more ads we see, the more unhappy we are. Because it's an immediate reflection on what it is that you don't have. At the base of every advertisement, the understanding of the advertisement is you need this. You don't have this in your life, and so you need it. This is necessary. You must acquire this in order to be happy. You need this in your life, and then you will be filled with joy. 10,000 times a day. What? 10,000 times a day. Look, the very issue with culture screaming at you 10,000 times a day, basically what culture is saying is it's better to accumulate. It's more blessed to get. Ooh, you know where I'm going. And Jesus had a very countercultural message, a message that completely went against the grain. And today goes against the grain as well. Jesus said this. Paul recorded Jesus saying this in Acts chapter 20. Paul says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak." Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Again, Paul starting off saying, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak." Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." So then, if you and I are looking for joy and intentionality in our everyday, if you and I want to become more like Jesus, then you and I, no matter how much we don't like to talk about money, no matter how awkward it may make you feel for me to talk about money, we must look at Jesus saying, "It is more blessed to give." In the Greek, the word we translate is more blessed. It is more blessed to give. It very literally translates to kind of happy. It kind of means happy. It means to be happy, to be made happy. More so, it means to be made happier. It means happier. So Scripture is very literally telling you, you're happier when you're being generous. You're more full of joy when you give. You're more fulfilled when you give. So that's why today we are talking about determining in our lives. You and I are going to have to determine to become generous. Now, I'm not saying this because we're full of a bunch of people that don't give. So those pictures that you saw, that lady, there was one other lady that we got to also visit with, whom it was this church who helped build her a home. On that trip, we got to meet her. We got to talk to her. It was on the next trip that there was an individual here in the church that said, "We want to help fund that." And then from there, we had a number of people that said, "Hey, let's go down and let's actually put hands on and build it." A beautiful trip. Just an amazing time. But I recognize that I'm talking to people who understand generosity. I'm not pointing a finger today. But these are values, these are truths that you and I are going to have to understand. And the one thing that I think we really need to understand up front is that nobody ever accidentally becomes generous. Nobody stumbles into it. I mean, that's our thought, our intent, what we say, well, look, when I can, then I will. When I get this, then I will be able to do this. But nobody just stumbles into tithing and giving. Like, oh, that was an accident. It doesn't happen. There's intentionality behind it. Nobody stumbles into paying for missions, for homes around town, for kids getting ready to go to youth camp trips. Nobody stumbles into and accidentally does these things. Again, we want to be generous, but the mentality is we don't think we can. And so we say, when I have more, then I'll give more. You know, one day when I can afford it, God, if you'll let me win the lottery. One day when I can afford it, then I'll give. But that's not generosity. That's not how the generous think. Generosity is all about the heart. So then generosity isn't about what you have or what you don't have. Generosity is not about what you have or don't have. Those photos at the start prove the point. You and I know this to be true. We've seen poor people that are stingy, and we've seen poor people that are sacrificially generous. At the same time, we've also seen rich people who you can't squeeze a dime out of, and then also rich people who will change the world because of their sacrificial giving. It's not about what you have or don't have. If you and I don't choose to be generous today, we're not going to be generous tomorrow. We must determine to be generous today. Jesus told a parable that illustrates this very well. There was a rich man in Luke 12. In Luke 12, this rich man has this enormous harvest. Kind of an unexpected abundance one year. And because of this abundance, he all of a sudden is left with the question, what do I do? I've got more than I can handle. What do I do with all of this? And let me tell you what he didn't do. He didn't sit there and see the abundance and think, oh my gosh, now I can be generous. He didn't look at the abundance and say, oh my gosh, now I can fund my local church. Now I can give to missionaries. I can build mission homes. He said this in verse 18, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. More money doesn't make you more generous. More money doesn't change who you are so much as maybe reveals who you are. That's why if you and I want to be generous when we have more, we're going to have to learn to be generous today. Even if you have less today. Let me show you some principles about being generous. For starters, generous people plan to be generous. Now, there's an immediate question mark that usually raises in people's minds. Hold up, Corey. I thought being generous was like seeing that homeless man on the side of the road and making sure to stop and give them some money. I thought being generous was, you know, taking the time in the drive-thru to pay for that family behind you. I'm gonna cover their meal. I thought that was being generous. Most people, this is how they give most of the time. You see a need, and so you meet a need. You hear a sad story, and so you do something about the sad story. Right? You go to a fundraiser, and somewhere in the fundraiser, somebody will motivate you to give, will inspire you to give, or maybe even guilt you to give. And so you do. You give. But that's giving. That's not generosity. There's a distinct difference. I want to be clear. Giving's good. I'm not saying don't do that. Giving is good. Giving honors God. But it's not the same as generosity. You see, generous people don't have to be guilted to give. They don't need to be inspired to give. Generous people don't just give when they see a need. Generous people don't just give when they have a little extra. Generous people have a plan. A plan? Look, Scripture's like crystal clear on this. Isaiah 32, verse 8. Generous people do what? Look at that. It's not just Jimbo talking this morning. A lot of y'all are getting in on it. Generous people plan. Generous people plan to do what is generous, and they do what? Ooh, stand firm in their generosity. But what if my circumstances change? What if I don't think I can today? They stand firm, not waiting until they have more, not making excuses as to what they can't do right now. Giving is not just what they do. Generous is who they are. The generous plan to do what is generous. They determine to stand firm in their generosity. Now when it comes to finances, when it comes to money, most of us have a plan. Some of you are looking at me like, what? I ain't got a plan. Most of us have a plan. The plan mostly, though, is just simply to consume. Look, I'm terrible at this part. Look, we see something we want, and so we plan to get it. I'll plan to get something for so long that I'm looking into next year's model just to see if I can wait or if I do really need it now. Like I will research something to death. I mean, to just like over research it and to the point where like I know everybody who's now selling the one item that I've narrowed it down to, and I can now determine who I'm going to buy it from because I know all the discounts, the sales, and maybe I know the people. Maybe I'm going to work an angle. You don't know. I'm going to research something. You and I will plan to get the things that we want. Generous people plan to give. When you plan to give, what you're doing is you're developing intentionality, you're developing practices that are critical to becoming like Christ. It's strategic, it's prayerful, it's designing your life around generosity. It's not something done as a reaction, it's strategy. It's a mindset of prayerfully asking God, how can I make a bigger difference? How can I impact my community? How can I impact this world? How can I impact my home. It's intentional. It's not random. Last week, I read the words of Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness when it's easy. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness just in regards to your relationships, because, you know, those can be trouble. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness just in regards to that new job you're pursuing. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness when times are tough. No, very simply, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then everything else will be added to you. So that means in everything that we do, we've got to seek first the kingdom of God. And then that means financially, if you seek first the outfit, if you seek first the car, if you seek first the things, if you seek first the external, it's not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not putting God first. And then everything else will be added unto you. You see, we have to seek God first in our giving too. All right, Corey, what does that look like? Well, you know what it looks like, because there's a principle in Scripture that tells you exactly what it looks like. Let's look at Malachi 3:10. Oh, my God, he's going there. All right. There's a principle in the Scripture called the tithe. I am going to tell you exactly what I believe that Scripture tells us. I'm not telling you how you have to live your life. But this Scripture very clearly says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. A lot of other translations use even the word local. Storehouse, that there may be food in my house. This was the prophet Malachi speaking the words of the Lord to his people. So God is telling his people, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Now, the Hebrew word that we translate as tithe very literally means 10%. So the Scripture's saying, bring 10% of what God blesses you back to him as an act of worship, that there may be food in my house. Now, there's a million different directions we can go here, and each one of you are waiting with bated breath. I can hear, I can feel it. One of the bigger issues that I immediately hear people say is, that's a lot. That's too much. I mean, come on, Corey. Bring 10% to the local storehouse. Almost as if they were saying, look, Corey, I can't afford that. In order to do that, I'd almost have to rearrange my life, my priorities around God. Corey, come on, look, if I did that, I'd have to like strategically look at my finances and arrange it not around my wants, but around what he wants. Oh, I'm not stepping on your toes. Understand, I've had that conversation in my head. Not really the getting to the part where I understood or wanted to say I'm going to have to rearrange my life, but saying stuff that kept me from doing it because I didn't want to rearrange my life. I think God knew we'd feel this way, though, about it. This is the only time in all of Scripture where God tells us to test him. Look, I'm doing my Bible reading, you know, and right now we're still at the beginning of the year, and so we're in that whole part where it's the it's so hard. Right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And all you're learning, like the whole time, is that God is telling the Israelites, trust me, trust me, Why won't you trust me? Like, everything is always about trust. You read the rest of the Bible, the rest of Scripture, all of it, it's about trust. Do you trust? Do you believe in what he did for you? The whole Bible is about trust, except for this one scripture. Everywhere God says, trust me. I said, trust me. And then here he says, test me. If you don't believe me, test me in this. Give it a try. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I give you permission to try me. God says, put me first, test me and see what I do. If you put me first, see if I won't provide for you. Now, I very clearly am not saying that you get rich when you tithe. Doesn't work that way. What I am saying is that God proves himself faithful when you do. God is the ultimate giver. God is the ultimate giver. Generosity says, for God so loved the world that he... Wow. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's generosity. It's recognizing that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So you put God first in your giving too. In all of your life, including in your giving. It's a mindset that takes place when you put God first. We determine, giving is not what I do, generous is who I am. We don't give just when it's convenient. We're not going to give when we have something left over. We give God our first and our best. And then trust him to bless the rest. As we're doing that, I want to encourage you. I talked about tithe, and very literally tithe means 10%. That's the definition. I'm going to encourage you to not hold back. Generous people, if we're going to become generous, then we have to understand it's about not holding back. We don't just give when we can or what we can. Better, we don't hold back. In Proverbs 21, Solomon wrote this. He said, all day long, the lazy and the selfish covet greedily. But the righteous gives, look at this, the righteous gives and does not hold back. The righteous give and don't hold back. Throughout Scripture, we see it over and over and over again. The Good Samaritan walking along, sees the man beaten, left half dead on the side of the road, picks him up, tends to his wounds, travels with him, takes him to an inn, says, let me pay for a room, let me pay for his help. And then the next day tells the innkeeper, listen, I have to leave. I'm going on a business trip, but I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to give more so that you can continue to take care of him. And when I come back, if there's been any more expense, I'll cover that too. Ooh, that's a lot. Are there any other scriptures, Corey? Because I don't just go by one. All right. Zacchaeus was a man that stole from his own people. He was a crook. Tax collector who would take, and what he'd do is he'd hear what the Roman tax was going to be for an individual, and then he'd double it, triple it, quadruple it, whatever he wanted. he'd keep the difference and give Rome theirs and just gorge his own people. Zacchaeus one day meets the life-transforming grace of Jesus. He has his salvation moment, this revelation moment. And he decides very distinctly, I'm not holding back. He says to Jesus, if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times over. Look, I don't care how many people you cheated for double. If you're returning four times over, all right, Corey, you did too. But Scripture says, in the mouths of two or three witnesses. So, how about the words of Jesus? Jesus taught this principle. He said this. If somebody tells you to go 1 mile, go two. If somebody demands the shirt off your back, give them your coat as well. So the next time that you're contemplating, thinking about, should I give, should I not, I'm going to encourage you to be a blessing and not hold back. Because generous people don't hold back. And if you and I are becoming like Christ, if we're learning daily practices to become like Christ, then there has to be intentionality in our thoughts. And that includes in our giving. There has to be practical steps that we're taking, and that includes planning what it is that we're going to do. And then not holding back. If you want to be generous when you have more, you need to be generous when you have less. It's never going to be accidental. It's never going to be accidental. It's not making excuses as to why we can't. It's standing firm. We plan for it. We don't hold back. Why? Why, Corey? Why must I plan for it? Why must I not hold back? Why are you even talking about giving? I said the scripture earlier. I'm going to talk about it again very simply. You and I serve an extremely generous God, who determined what he was going to do even while we still were sinners. Determined he'd send his one and only, giving the ultimate gift of life and forgiveness through Christ. So you and I, if we're becoming like Christ, have to determine that we're generous first. You bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, for your truth, Lord God, for everything that you're doing in and through our lives. Father, I pray today that even in the area of finances, Lord God, that you would make yourself known. Father, I thank you that we are a church known for our generosity, but Lord God, I pray that we would be able to do so much more. Lord God, that there would be food in your storehouse for the hungry. Father, that we would, as a church, as a people, as a body, recognize, realize it is so much more joyful when you're generous. With every head bowed, every eye closed, please, I want to take a moment and just, I want to pray for those who are struggling in the area of giving. You've had that conversation, I want to give more, but don't feel like I can. If that's you this morning, I'm not looking to embarrass anybody, but just very simply, if you can glance up at me, look at me, let me know that I'm talking to some people this morning. Awesome. 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 there's anybody that needs prayer for this specifically, just real quickly, give me a glance, give me a hand. I want to pray for you. Awesome. 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 I tell you what, guys, let's stand together, if you will. Everybody standing. I love that. I know it's not much. Nothing else fit for a king, except for the heart singing hallelujah. Heavenly Father, with a room full of people this morning, Lord God, we stand together. Lord God, different circumstances, different situations. There's people in the room with plenty. There's people in the room with not a lot. But Father, right now across this room, I pray that you would draw our hearts to you. That, Lord God, even in the area of our finances, we would recognize our need, our desire to put you first. Lord God, that we would approach life from a generous attitude, not a one day what if, when it will be, Lord God, but from a standpoint of, God, I know that you've given me everything I need for today. And so because of that, I can step forward, Lord God, in your strength. I can trust you, Lord Jesus. Father, for those this morning that are struggling in this area, that are having an issue, Lord God, that have had that conversation with God, I don't know if I can, it's too much. Lord, I pray specifically for them. Right now, Lord God, your word would reveal, Father, a foundation of truth that is unshakable. And Father, that your strength would come alive inside of us. That even in the area of finances, we'd be able to rise up like a lion, Lord God. Regardless of what we have, Lord Jesus, we'd be able to look past the circumstance and look to the provider. Lord God, thank you for those today that are making the decision, making the choice to give first to you, to acknowledge you in that area. God, I pray that you would, as your scripture says, reveal yourself faithful, that you would open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out upon their lives an abundance like they can't even begin to imagine. God, I pray this in your precious, mighty name. It's in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we pray this morning. Amen, amen, amen. Guys, be encouraged. Y'all have a very blessed week. Remember, it is more joyful to give. God bless you guys.